Please turn with me in your copy of the scriptures to 1 Kings 18, verses 41 through 46. You'll find this on page 382 of your pew Bible. Hear the word of the Lord. And Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of the rushing of rain." So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel. And he bowed himself on the earth, and he put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." And he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." And he said, "Go again," seven times. And at the seventh time he said, "Behold, a little cloud, like a man's hand, is rising from the sea." And he said, "Go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down, lest the rain stop you." And in a little while the heavens grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he gathered up his garment and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Thus ends the reading of God's word. Would you pray with me? Our great God in heaven, we come to you weary and tired and in much need of refreshing. Would you send your word to us this night and refresh our hearts and our minds with the true word of God? Lord, bless the hearing of your word, bless the preaching of your word, that we might worship you here tonight. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Do you pray? Do you pray? Last week you saw Elijah pray. You saw Baal's prophets pray. And for Baal's prophets there was no answer. But when Elijah prayed, the Lord answered. He prayed that the Lord would make himself known, and the Lord answered that prayer. He prayed that the Lord would give grace to his people, turning their hearts back to him, and the Lord answered that prayer. We saw the people proclaim, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Tonight, we're looking at the next six verses of that passage. And we see something interesting, something we might not expect to see. We see very clearly that God does not always answer every prayer immediately. Sometimes he makes you wait. And so the question then becomes, what should you do when you are waiting? What should you do when you pray and God makes you wait? Well, the answer in our passage is this: be fervent in prayer. When God makes you wait, be fervent in prayer. That's what we see in the first three verses, 41 through 43. We see Elijah was fervent in prayer. Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of the rushing of rain." For 3.5 years, there had not been the sound of the rushing of rain. For 3.5 years, the Lord had cursed the land because his people had not kept his covenant. There was drought and there was famine and there was no rain. But then after 3.5 years, the Lord promised Elijah. The Lord promised Elijah, "Go show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth." And so Elijah showed himself to Ahab. And we saw how that meeting played out last week. Ahab had to wake up early. He had to climb Mount Carmel. He had to wait from morning until midday for Baal. But Baal never showed because he was no god. But in the late afternoon and in the evening, the Lord answered Elijah's prayer. He sent fire from heaven, proving himself to be the one true God. And after all this, Ahab had to go back down the mountain to watch Elijah slaughter each and every one of the false prophets in the brook of Kishon. Well, to say the least, it's been a long day for Ahab, and perhaps from Ahab's perspective, it's been a very bad day. But the good news is it's about to get a lot better. Elijah tells Ahab, go up. Go up from the slaughter, from the brook of Kishon. Go up to your tent. Go up, eat, and drink. In other words, Elijah is saying, it's time for supper. It's time for supper. And the king, he may have missed breakfast. He may have missed lunch. But he must not miss this meal. This meal is special. This meal is for a very special occasion. What is that occasion? Elijah says, go up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of the rushing of rain. And this sound is good news. Elijah commands the king to eat and to drink. And this is a summons to celebrate the good news of God's promise fulfilled. This roaring is the sound of a rich and an abundant rain. It is a rain that will refresh a dry and a weary land. It is a rain that will quench the parched throats of a cursed people and a thirsty people. You see, very soon the heavens will burst open. Very soon the Lord will send the covenant blessing of rain upon his people just as he had promised he would to Elijah. Well, King Ahab accepts Elijah's invitation. He goes and he has his supper. Look at verse 42. Ahab went up to eat and to drink. But notice that Elijah does not go with him. Instead, we read that Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel. And there he bowed himself down on the earth and he put his face between his knees. What is Elijah doing? What is Elijah doing? He is being fervent in prayer. He is not eating. He is not drinking. He is being fervent in prayer. Elijah isn't up on Mount Carmel to enjoy nature. He's not there to get a fresh breath of mountain air. He isn't up there for self-care or for his mental health. He is there to pray. He is there to pray. And prayer is but the praising of his God. It is the giving thanks to his God. But especially in our passage here tonight, prayer is asking God for the things which he has promised. You probably noticed that nowhere in this passage does the text say Elijah prayed. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that at all. And the words of his prayer are not recorded for us. They're not provided. And yet we know that Elijah is praying. We immediately recognize that this is a posture of prayer. James tells us, if we're in any doubt, that Elijah is praying. He says, Elijah prayed fervently and it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again and the heavens gave rain. Elijah is praying. And this is fervent prayer. You know, Elijah, he's borne the burden of the day. He's been busy, hard at work on top of this mountain and then back down on the bottom. He had to rebuild the altar. He had to butcher the bull sacrifice. He had to go down and slaughter all those false prophets. That took time. That took energy. It took work. Not to mention all the climbing up and the climbing down and the climbing up again. This is work. It's hard. It's late. And Elijah is certainly tired. And I think if you were Elijah, probably at this point, you'd be wanting to do what Ahab is doing. Sitting, eating your supper, having a drink, watching a show, and getting some sleep. But Elijah, he does not eat, he does not sleep. Why? Because Elijah is eager to receive what his God has promised to him. And that is why Elijah instead takes time to pray. I want us to dwell for a moment on the description of Elijah's prayer, because even though the words aren't here for us, the description is. And it's instructive to us. Many of us struggle to pray. I think that's probably an understatement. And yet, here we have a passage that can teach us a great deal about fervent prayer. Let's look at how Elijah prays. First, notice that this is private prayer. Elijah is alone. His servant is close at hand. But other than that, it is him and his God. Elijah departed from the people down in the Kishon Brook. He climbed back up the mountain, and there he is privately praying. Elijah might have stayed with the people. He might have prayed publicly for the Lord to send rain, but instead he traveled to a private place, to the peak of Mount Carmel. You know, Abraham prayed in his garden. David prayed in his cave. Elijah prays on a mountain. And the question we need to ask is, where do you pray? Where do you pray? Do you have a place where you can go to be alone with your God? I want to encourage you, if you do not have such a place, to find such a place. Maybe it's your porch. Maybe it's your backyard. If you don't have either of those, maybe it's your closet. Everybody has a closet. But find a place where you can be alone with your God in prayer. Second, this is humble prayer. This is humble prayer. Elijah bowed himself down on the earth, and from that low position, he put his knees, his head between, put his face between his knees. Elijah here, his posture is either kneeling or crouching, but the point is he has cast himself down low to the ground. This is a posture of humble prayer. And I do want to be very clear. I said a posture, not the posture. Scripture portrays prayer in many different ways. Sometimes people are praying prostrate. Sometimes they're sitting. Sometimes they are standing. But the body language is always meant to communicate something about the person praying. And here Elijah's posture communicates to us that this is humble prayer. He is humbling himself before a holy God. You know, Elijah, after his great victory, might have stood tall publicly before all the people. He might have lifted up his hands and prayed in some triumphant fashion. He had just experienced something remarkable. He prayed and the fire fell from heaven. He prayed and his enemies were defeated and humiliated. And yet, instead of doing that, Elijah retreats to a private mountain where he prays humbly by himself. Are you humble in prayer? Are you bowing down before your Lord and your God? Are you begging for mercy? Are you pleading for grace? Do you not know that God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble? Are you humble in prayer? Third, this is watchful prayer. Elijah sent his servant saying, "Go up now, look toward the sea." From certain points on Mount Carmel, you would be able to look over across Israel into the Mediterranean. And if a storm or a cloud were to come, it would likely come from that direction. And so Elijah prays, but he instructs his servant to go watch while he prays. You see, Elijah knows that the drought is nearly ended. He knows that the Lord will answer. And so he watches while he prays. Do you watch while you pray? Are you keeping watch? Are you taking notes of the ways in which the Lord answers your prayer before, during, and after? This is watchful prayer. Fourth, this is expectant prayer. Elijah expected an answer. His servant watched, but unfortunately the news that came back was bad news at first. There was nothing, we read. No storm, no cloud, no rain, no nothing. We would probably be very discouraged in such a situation, but Elijah is not discouraged. He is expectantly waiting for the Lord's answer. Here's an important question to ask. Do you honestly believe that the Lord answers your prayers? Or are you double-minded, praying and not believing that the God that you're praying to actually will answer? Well, certainly if you don't believe He will answer, He will not answer. You're not praying in faith. This is expectant prayer. Finally, this is persistent prayer. His servant said there was nothing, and so Elijah says, go again, go again. Not once, not twice, but seven times. He prayed and he kept on praying, and he did not give up praying. We need to be persistent in prayer. We don't give up the first sign of disappointment. We pray, and we pray, and we pray. Elijah prayed privately. He prayed humbly. He prayed expectantly. He prayed persistently. And that is why James highlights Elijah as an example of fervent prayer. You see, Elijah had previously prayed a very simple and short prayer, and the Lord answered that prayer immediately. But this time the Lord makes Elijah wait. And yet Elijah is not deterred. He did not doubt. He did not despair. He did not deny the power of God or the power of prayer. He knew his God would hear and answer. And so he is fervent in prayer. And so James would urge you, pray, pray, pray. Pray like Elijah prayed. Pray privately. Flee from the distractions of your day. Turn off your TV, put down the cell phone, find a private place, and be alone with your God in prayer. Pray humbly. Go bow down before your Father in heaven. Confess your sins. Beg His mercy. Praise His marvelous grace. The Lord delights to hear His people pray. Pray watchfully. Pay attention and praise the Lord when He answers your prayers. Pray expectantly. Believe God will answer your prayers, even if He does not do so immediately. Pray persistently. Pray seven times. Pray seven times, 70 times. Wrestle with your God in prayer and do not give up until you have received the blessing. This is how Elijah prayed, and the Lord answered Elijah's prayer. Elijah believed all along that the Lord would say yes. Elijah had confidence because he was praying according to the promise of God. The Lord promised Elijah, I will send rain upon the earth. And so Elijah, by faith, believed it was only a matter of time before the Lord answered that promise. Here's the thing, is that the Lord doesn't promise to answer every prayer immediately. He doesn't always answer every prayer affirmatively. He doesn't always say yes. Sometimes He says no. Sometimes He says not now. But if you want to pray fervently like Elijah prayed, if you want to pray confidently in the things which God will surely say yes to, then you need to pray according to the promises. This is the confidence that we have toward the Lord, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us, and if we know that He hears us, then we know that we have the requests that we have asked of Him. You see, you need to know who your God is. We talked about that last week. But you also need to know how to pray according to His will. And the best way to do that is to start by reading His Word, to pray from His Bible, remembering His promises. You know, some of you don't pray at all. You know who you are. You want to pray. You know you're supposed to pray. But maybe you just never learned how to pray. Maybe you didn't grow up in a Christian home. Maybe you've never been taught how to pray. You just don't know where to begin. But here's a way to begin. Pay attention to the promises of God. And then pray those promises. Turn to the Psalms and start looking for the words, "The Lord is." That's a good place to start. Look for the words, "The Lord is." The Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Psalm 9. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Psalm 23. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" Psalm 27. "Behold, the Lord is the upholder of my life." Psalm 54. And finally, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love." Psalm 103. There are many, 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 many more. To encourage you, if you want to learn how to pray the promises of God, there's a little booklet published by Banner of Truth. It's called Precious Promises. I can't pronounce the author's last name, Joseph Alain, something like that. But it's a classic piece of devotional literature, Precious Promises. It'll teach you to learn how to pray the Lord's promises. Elijah had one such promise. The Lord had said, "Go show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth." And so Elijah obeyed. He showed himself to Ahab, and then he prayed. I'll just note as an aside here, there was a condition there, wasn't there? "Go show yourself to Ahab, then I will send rain." Pay attention to the conditions, they're important. Look for the words "if." They're important, pay attention to them. But Elijah obeyed, and then he prayed, and then he prayed, and then he prayed. 7 times he prayed, and then the Lord answered. And we see the Lord answer in verses 44 through 46. "And at the 7th time, he said, 'Behold, a little cloud like a man's hand is rising from the sea.'" It took 6 times of Elijah praying and the servant seeing nothing before Elijah's servant saw something. And that something was the Lord's answer to his prayer. The Lord didn't answer Elijah's prayer immediately. He didn't answer it the first time. He answered it on the 7th time. And when he answered, it was something very, very small. The Lord sent a little cloud. From Elijah's servant's perspective, standing on Mount Carmel, looking out across Israel, looking to the sea, it was the size of a man's hand. He could cover it just like that. It was not a great storm. It was not a giant tempest. It was a little cloud. No bigger than a hand. But this was not just a little cloud. This was the Lord's little cloud. This was the Lord's little cloud. You see, the Lord often answers prayers with little clouds. You pray for complete healing for a spouse, and the Lord gives gradual recovery. You pray for holiness for yourself, and the Lord just gives you this small incremental progress. You pray for salvation for a loved one or a coworker or a friend, and God gives you opportunities to share the gospel. Little clouds. Don't despise the day of small things. Be watchful and expect little things. Give thanks to God for little clouds. And persist in prayer. You see, by faith, we need to see these little clouds for what they really are. They are God's answers to prayer. And a little faith can look at a little cloud and see the beginnings of a great miracle. Elijah had such a faith. Elijah prayed and he prayed and he prayed,
and until he saw that little cloud. And as soon as he saw that little cloud, he sent word to the king, "Prepare your chariot and go down, lest the rain stop you." There's no rain yet. There's one little cloud. The king probably can't even see it from where he's at. "Go down, lest the rain stop you." You see, Elijah looked at this little cloud, and by faith, he knew that rain was coming, and that Ahab would get stuck, that the sand would turn to mud, that the rivers would flood, the roads would become impassable, all because he looked by faith at this little cloud, the Lord's answer to his prayer. And as soon as he saw that, the Lord started to grow that cloud. Pray and watch. Pray and watch. Expect bigger things. Expect bigger things. After a little while, the Lord's little cloud began to grow. And that little cloud became a great storm. You see that the heavens grew black, we read, with clouds and wind. And there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. This is a dry and weary land. 3.5 years, there's been no sound of rain. There's not been a drop of rain. But now, by the grace of God, there was great rain. The Lord answered Elijah's fervent prayer. We read a text like this and we might wonder at the end of it, why does Elijah tell the king to flee? Why does Ahab go to Jezreel? Well, I think the answer very simply is you don't want to be around when Hurricane Hugo comes wrecking through town, right? 145 mile per hour winds, doesn't sound like a good place to be. This is a great storm. And that's why when the storm warning says evacuate, what do? You evacuate, right? That's what you're supposed to do. And so if you think about driving through a storm in a car, it's maybe unnerving and maybe a little bit dangerous, but imagine being on a chariot. You've got horses. They probably don't appreciate wild storms very much. You see, this Lord's little cloud was actually a great mercy because it gave opportunity to prepare. Elijah saw that little cloud and he was able to send word to the king, an urgent message to Ahab. And Ahab was able to evacuate to his palace. That's where his palace was, in Jezreel. That's why Ahab goes to Jezreel. Now, geography is maybe not our strong suit, and especially not when it comes to locations we've never been to. But I read that Jezreel and Mount Carmel are about 25 miles apart. And this may sound like the setup for a math problem. The average racing chariot could go about 35 to 40 miles per hour. And that's in ideal conditions. And so that makes this about a 40-minute trip, give or take a few minutes. But what's really remarkable about this second half of the passage is the fact that the Lord enabled Elijah to run that distance by foot. Look at verse 46. "And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he gathered up his garment, and he ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel." You see, Elijah obeyed, and then he prayed, and the Lord answered by sending rain and by making Elijah a really, really fast runner, apparently. To put this in perspective, Usain Bolt, his record speed in the 100 meter is 27.78 miles per hour. That's not quite the speed, not even close, really, to a chariot. So even if weather slowed things down a little bit, Elijah is running at an amazing speed. An impossibly inhuman speed. But Elijah, this is how it works. Elijah's not running in his own strength, is he? He's not running in his own strength. That the hand of the Lord was upon him. That's what we read. The Lord gave Elijah the strength of his spirit, and Elijah ran before the king. Now, the more important question, perhaps, is why does the Lord send this little cloud so that Elijah is able to warn the king? And why does the Lord send Elijah supernatural strength by which he is able to outrun the king's chariot? I think the answer to both of these questions is this: that the Lord is showing the king something that's true about Elijah. After this great contest on Mount Carmel, you might be under the impression that Elijah is the king's enemy. Certainly, Ahab probably thought something along those lines. He's been this constant thorn in his side. He is the troubler of Israel. Ahab and Elijah, they're not the best of friends. And yet, what we see here at the second half of this passage, when the Lord sends this little cloud and Elijah is able to warn the king and Ahab goes in his chariot and escapes the storm and Elijah runs in front of his chariot, what we're seeing here is that Elijah is not the enemy. Elijah is a prophet of the Lord, and so he honors the king. Elijah is zealous for the Lord, and so he's zealous to see the Lord turn the heart of the king. And so Elijah was praying for the people, but he was almost certainly praying for the king as well. Elijah detests Ahab's idolatry. Yes, that much is true. But Elijah, in proper Christian fashion, loves the king. He loves and honors him, even if he is an enemy. Elijah was fervent in prayer. He prayed that the Lord would graciously turn back the hearts of his people. And the Lord answered that prayer. Elijah was certainly praying for Ahab, that God would turn Ahab from his idolatry. We see as the narrative goes on, that doesn't happen, but he's hopeful. He's praying and watching. And that's why Elijah runs before the chariots of the king. He wants to honor the king, but he's also watching to see what will happen in the entrance of Jezreel. Will the king repent? Watch and pray. Unfortunately, he doesn't. Now, we've seen tonight then that Elijah was a man fervent in prayer. You've seen how the Lord answered that prayer. You've seen how he's poured out his covenant blessings and how his spirit was given to Elijah for strength to run really fast. Last week, we considered in our conclusion Mount Calvary and how the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the greater Elijah. He is the greater prophet. His blood is more precious than the blood of the bull sacrifice. Tonight, I want to conclude by looking at a different mountain. It was on the Mount of Transfiguration that the Lord spoke from a cloud, saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased." He was speaking, of course, of Jesus. And this is what I want to end with. If the Lord answers the fervent prayer of his prophet, his servant, Elijah, how much more will he answer the prayers of his beloved Son? You know, Jesus prayed for his people. He prayed, "Holy Father, keep them in your name." He prayed, "Sanctify them in truth." He prayed, "May they be with me where I am, to see my glory." Jesus prayed for his people and he is praying for his people. And the question I would ask then is the disciple above his master. If Jesus is praying, shouldn't we be praying? Shouldn't you be praying? You say it's hard. Well, the good news is he's promised his spirit to help you in weakness. He's promised that same Spirit will intercede on your behalf. He's invited you to pray in his name. And he has promised that whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that my Father may be glorified in his Son. He has promised these things. Jesus is praying for you. His Spirit is interceding for you. You have been invited to pray in his name. Take up those promises. Take up those promises. Draw near to the throne of grace and be fervent in prayer. And know that there is a God in heaven who hears and answers prayer. Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, we do come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your word, which refreshes our souls. And we rejoice to know that we have bold and confident access to pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the power of His Spirit, even receiving help when we do not pray as we ought. Oh, that you would make us a praying people. Bless your word to your people here tonight and the hearing of it. May we be doers of it as well. May we pray. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen.